Praise the Lord. Jesus is Lord. This is Dr. Ruth. Thank you for joining me today as we continue in our study out of the Gospel of Luke, which is the ministry of Jesus Christ. Hopefully, you have listened to the introduction of the Gospel of Luke as it will help to prepare you for this study. So we begin here with Luke chapter 1, and it is a very lengthy chapter, so I will do a couple of sessions here. So we begin right away with Luke chapter 1 verse 1, and this is Luke writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And if you recall, that is, if you have listened to the introduction, I did say that Luke engaged in intensive research, intensive investigation, interviewing eyewitnesses who were still alive and witnessed the ministry of Jesus Christ. So he compiled this comprehensive gospel account of the ministry of Jesus Christ, and as inspired by the Holy Spirit, he wrote this down. So in this opening here, this is what Luke is essentially going to tell us. So let's get into this. Luke 1, verse 1. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us. Things that have been fulfilled, meaning the ministry of Jesus Christ, the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies fulfilled in the ministry of Jesus Christ. So Luke is saying that many people have made attempts to write down these things. And then he continued here in verse 2, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the Lord. If you recall, I discussed this in the introduction, that by this time, around AD 60, when Luke was writing this gospel, they had multiple oral and written traditions about the Lord Jesus' ministry circulating. So that is what Luke is saying, that things were handed down to them or to us. Verse 3, with this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. Exactly. This is so self-explanatory. So all Luke is saying is that, being that they have several oral and written traditions about the Lord Jesus' ministry, he, inspired by the Holy Spirit, had taken some time to do a thorough investigation to present the ministry of Jesus Christ in an orderly, comprehensive manner, so that we do not doubt the certainty of this truth. And it is addressed to Most Excellent Theophilus. I discussed this in the introduction, that Bible scholars think this was a high-ranking Roman wealthy officer, or officer rather, and Theophilus is translated one loved by God or a friend of God. And Theophilus was a Gentile. Already we are learning how God was so determined to pave the way for Gentiles, i.e. non-Jews, to come into this relationship with himself through Jesus Christ, okay? So I like verse 4 there. I want to repeat that. So that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. As we studied the Gospel of Luke, we can be assured that this gospel writing is inspired by God, the Holy Spirit, and the truths we are going to learn here are absolutely truth. So we should not doubt anything here. Just like Luke was telling Theophilus that I am writing this so you can be certain about the truth. Likewise, we are certain about the truth of the ministry of Jesus Christ and what he fulfilled. Okay, moving on here to verse 5 all the way to, I believe, verse 25, we talked about the birth of John the Baptist. Verse 5, in the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. So if you have listened to my teaching out of the Gospel of Matthew, we talked about King Herod of Judea. He was that very wicked, demon-possessed king who was ruling over Judea at the time the Lord Jesus was birthed into this world. And if you recall, he was that king who gave an ordinance for all of the children 2 years and below to be killed because he was attempting to kill baby Jesus. Okay, so that is Herod, the king of Judea there. Hello, friends. This is Dr. Ruth here. Thank you for joining me today. I would like to share with you our ministry offer that is available to you as a donation to this ministry throughout my teachings out of the Gospels. So, I have two resources that I know will bless you tremendously because these two books have blessed hundreds of people. So, the two books all have to do with the ministry of Jesus Christ. So, the first one is titled, Who is the Real Jesus? And the second one is titled, Are You Moving Forward with Jesus? So, for a ministry donation of $50 or more, this includes shipping and handling. If you live here in the USA, we will mail these two books to you today. Okay, it will provide added clarity, added teaching about the Gospels, the ministry of Jesus, the work of Christ. These are phenomenal resources that would add into the teaching here I'm doing in the Gospels and help you to really have a deeper revelation and walk with the Lord. So again, this comes to us as a donation, and we thank you in advance for considering that. Again, the books are Who is the Real Jesus? And the other one is Are You Moving Forward with Jesus? For a ministry donation of $50 or more if you live in the USA. But if you cannot afford both books and you just want one, it's okay too. We thank you for your donation. So, Who is the Real Jesus? For a donation of $25 or more, including shipping and handling. And then the other book, Are You Moving Forward with Jesus, would be $35, including shipping and handling. We will mail these books to you today. The advantage of getting both books is that you would save $10, okay? So again, this ministry offer is only available for those who live within the USA because we cannot ship overseas. But if you live overseas and you're listening to me, you can get these books from Amazon. So here is how you can donate through us directly to get this book as a ministry offer. Our safe and secure website is drruthtanyi.org/donate. Again, drruthtanyi.org/donate. And then if you live in the USA, we also receive donations through Zelle. And here's the telephone number for Zelle. 909-501-9031. Again, 909-501-9031. And then we also accept donations through Cash App. And the name there is the $ Dr. Ruth Tanyi. Or if you just want to bless us with a one-time donation to help us produce more teachings like this and pay for studio time, we thank you abundantly from the bottom of our hearts. And God says thank you. And God is so faithful that he will bless you back abundantly, exceedingly. So I want to thank you in advance for purchasing this additional ministry resources to help you to gain a better revelation of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Again, we thank you. Here is the teaching. Okay, verse 6. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. So we are told how Zechariah and Elizabeth were godly people. Mm-hmm. They were righteous in the sight of God, meaning they obeyed God's law. They were living in accordance with God's law. That is what it means that they were righteous. So, are you a righteous Christian? Are you living in accordance with God's decrees? So when we obey God, when we submit to his decrees outlined in the scriptures, we truly would be living a righteous life. And God honors that, okay? So Elizabeth and the husband, Zechariah, were righteous people. Verse 7, but they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive and they were both very old. We don't know how old they were, but we just know that they were old. They were not able to conceive. Verse 8, once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and to burn incense. Again, back then, this is the gospel era. The Lord Jesus had not even been born into this world. So people were still casting lots, but this was all guided by God, the Holy Spirit. And I discussed this in my Old Testament teachings out of the first five book of Moses. So Zechariah was a priest, and back then they had so many priests, so they had to divide them in separate groups. Each group would take its turn to serve God, and the priests essentially were the ones to teach the people God's laws and to oversee the worship of God in the temple. So it was Zechariah's turn to serve God. We are now in verse 19. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Usually, when the priest is burning the incense, as the smoke from the incense would go upward, people will receive that as their prayers being presented before God and God answering their prayers. So that was how they worshiped God back then. We are now in verse 11. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, meaning an angel appeared to Zechariah the priest, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. Verse 12. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. Now, this fear is reverential awe. As we are noticing here, Zechariah did not worship these angels because we are not to worship angels. The Old Testament people had been instructed through the law of Moses not to worship angels. The only person that deserves our worship is God, the triune God. So Zechariah saw this angel and he was startled with fear, but did not worship the angel. Verse 13, but the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Now, which prayer? The prayer regarding Zechariah and Elizabeth being advanced in age. They were childless. They had been praying to God so they would have a child. So the angel is saying that, hey, I bring good news. God has honored your prayer. Isn't that awesome? When God answers our prayers, nothing is impossible for God. Even though we are learning that Zechariah and the wife Elizabeth were advanced in age, God honored their prayer. You know one reason? They were blameless before God. They were righteous before God, just like I mentioned earlier. When we are living in obedience to God, in accordance with God's decrees, at the right time, God will honor our prayers, just like we see God honoring Zechariah prayer. So if there's something you are believing God for, don't give up. Just keep trusting God and standing on his promises. God is faithful to bring that to manifestation. Okay, moving on here. Your wife, here is the angel speaking now. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son and you are to call him John. Verse 14, he will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. Verse 15. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. Let me pause here. Verse 15 is saying that this son, John, specific instructions are being given to the dad, Zechariah, that he would not drink wine or fermented drink. So this is the Nazarite vow. Okay, I discussed this in the book of Numbers. If you're interested, you can go and study this. The book of Numbers, chapter 6, I talked about the Nazarite vow, which essentially is a vow of consecration. So John the Baptist, even at his mother's womb, was chosen and consecrated by God for a divine purpose. And as we are about to learn here, the angel would essentially describe John the Baptist's calling and purpose. Even before he was born, already he would be filled with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb. We pick it up here in verse 16. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. Verse 17. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Awesome. So we are learning about John the Baptist's ministry even before he was born. Again, this had also been prophesied in Isaiah 40, verses 3 through 5, that he would make the way for the Messiah. So John the Baptist, as we would later find out, his ministry, he was consecrated even at his mother's womb. His calling was to prepare the way for the Messiah, to stir people's heart towards God, to open the hearts of people to receive the message of the Messiah. This was absolutely necessary because, as I discussed in the Gospel of Matthew and in my Old Testament teaching, by the time that John the Baptist was born, it had been slightly over 400 years since the last prophet was born in the nation of Israel. So the Israelites had gone for almost over 400 years without hearing a word from a prophet of God. So John the Baptist's ministry was extremely crucial. It was going to stir a lot of interest. People's heart would be open to hear from the Lord because it had been over 400 years. So we are learning that this John the Baptist's ministry was absolutely necessary. No wonder he would be filled with God the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb, because he would need that wisdom and power. And towards the, I believe, verse 17, it said he would have, or he would be filled with the Spirit and have the power of Elijah, which just alluding to the boldness that Elijah the prophet had. And as we would later find out, John the Baptist was a bold-faced prophet, okay? Moving on here in verse 18, Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years. There's a problem here. Zechariah asked this question doubting God. Listen to what he said. How can I be sure of this? How can I be sure of this? Alluding to the fact that he is not sure and he wants a sign, that way he would be sure. So he expressed doubt when the angel brought this message to him. So let's find out what would happen. Verse 19, the angel said to him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. Verse 20, and now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at the appointed time. Exactly. Zechariah expressed overt doubting of God's word. So the consequence was that he will be silent Why do you think that was the case? He had to be silent because had he not been silent, he would have gone and spread this doubt among the people. Mm-hmm. And that would have just messed up God's plan. So God is so sovereign. God knew that the best thing to do in this situation was to silence Zachariah. That way he doesn't spread this doubtful seed among the people, which probably might have even gotten to the Virgin Mary. So silence here was absolutely necessary. Friend, today, when we doubt God's word, God is not going to cause us to be silent. God is not going to make us dumb and deaf. No. The problem with doubt is that when we are doubting God's promises, it would prevent us from receiving the best that God has for us. It would prevent us from walking in the truth, and it would prevent our prayers from being answered. So you know how you deal with doubt? You deal with doubt by taking the truth in God's word and you meditate on it, and you speak it over your body, you speak it over your circumstances, and you need that truth to overcome the doubt. And as you stand on godly truths, the truth will start to saturate your soul and doubt will leave you. So we are learning a major lesson here right away. If you're doubting God, don't go and spreading your doubt. Keep it to yourself and work on that and overcome that through the power of the Holy Spirit, okay? Again, God is not going to punish you. God is not going to make you to be silent or make you to be dumb, but you just won't receive. And that does not please God. So to deal with doubt is to stand on godly truths and allow the Holy Spirit to saturate your heart with the truth so the doubt can leave. And don't go spreading doubts, okay? You get the message. Moving on here in verse 21. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zachariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. Because usually at this time, the way these people would worship the Lord, the priest would have come out and say a blessing over the people. But Zachariah didn't come out and people were wondering. Verse 22, when he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. Verse 23, when his time of service was completed, he returned home. Verse 24, after this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. The will of God was fulfilled. What the angel Gabriel had told Zechariah came to pass. Elizabeth became pregnant at her old age. The prayer was answered. Isn't that an awesome feeling when God answers our prayers in spite of what we perceive as impossible? Nothing is impossible with God. So Elizabeth became pregnant and she stayed in seclusion. The Bible doesn't tell us why. It could just be that she was just so amazed by what had happened to her, she just needed time to digest that whole thing. But bottom line, she became pregnant. Verse 25. The Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. Glory to God. So we see how Elizabeth was just in awe, just praising the Lord, being grateful. So I'm going to end this session here. Then on the next session, I will pick it up with the birth of Jesus Christ as prophesied. So what is the major principle and application we've learned from this? Verses 1 all the way through 25. The biggest one is doubting. I talked about this already. As I explained already, which we should not get into the habit of doubting God's promises. God is faithful 100%. In spite of how long we've been waiting for our prayers to be answered, in spite of how long we've been standing on God's promises, we have to continue to stand and trust God, the Holy Spirit, because in God's perfect timing, in God's ordained time, prayers are answered to the extent that we are praying in accordance with God's will, which is His word, and we are trusting the Holy Spirit to enable us to live righteously. Just as Elizabeth and Zachariah were righteous and blameless before God, and in their old age they had been praying for a child, God answered that. Likewise, because God is faithful, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, whatever we believe in God for, if it is a promise in His word, we can stand. So I already explained how to deal with doubt. You take the truth in God's word, you meditate on it, you saturate your soul with godly truths, and as you're doing that, the doubt would leave you effortlessly. So, friend, I want to just leave you with this principle to trust God's word, because God is faithful. I hope you receive this in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for your faithful word. We thank you for the God that you are a good God. We thank you that when we pray, you hear us and you answer our prayers. So I lift up all of the listeners today, for those who have been standing on your word, for those who are waiting for the manifestation of their prayers. I pray, God, the Holy Spirit, that you embolden them, you give them the tenacity to keep standing and not to give up. I pray you embolden them to just stand against any doubtful thoughts from the enemy or from the environment. I just pray that you encourage them today with this word, that you've heard them and their prayers are being answered at your perfect ordained time. We thank you for today, for such a blessed day. We call upon you for your blessing to everybody who is listening. You go before them to just guide and lead them unto all truths. And I have prayed in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And everybody says, Amen. God loves you.
Friend, as some of you already know, this program is financially supported 100% by love gifts from listeners like yourself. So please, would you help us with a donation so that we can produce more programs and bless others? We need your financial support. To make a one-time donation, visit our website, drruthtanyi.org. That's drruthtanyi.org. Look for the donation button and donate right there. It is a very secure, simple, and easy process. Or, for more of an impact, would you prayerfully consider becoming a Christ-centered monthly partner with us? While on our website, you will find all of the information about becoming a Christ-centered partner. As a monthly partner, your regular prayers and financial support will enable us to produce more Bible teachings in order to reach more people and transform their lives with God's Word. For those of you who prefer regular mail, you can send your donation to us. Here's the address. Dr. Ruth Tanyi Ministries, P.O. Box 1806, Loma Linda, California, 92354. You can also email us with your questions about becoming a partner. Here's the email address. info@drruthtanyi.org. That's I-N-F-O at D-R. RUTHTANYI.org. Or you can always call us at 909-383-7978. Dr. Ruth Tanyi Ministries is a federal government approved 501c corporation, which means that all of your donations are 100% tax deductible as allowed by the law. We thank you in advance for your kind donation and prayers. We pray for God's love and presence to anchor your soul today in Christ Jesus. I am Chris Oram. Stay blessed and goodbye for now.